What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So you want to be a rock and roll star? No? Well, how about a podcast star? Well, as it turns out, there's a new all-in-one platform just for you. It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way to make a podcast. And check this out. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. And then Anchor will distribute the podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and, you know, everywhere else in podcast land. And what's even better, you can actually make money from your podcast. Go figure. No minimum listenership on that. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go ahead, download the free Anchor app right now or go to anchor.fm to get started. So what are you waiting for? Podcast stardom is within your reach.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith with the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence of Sound, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you so much for checking us out, making your way to this episode in this series. Hopefully, you like what you hear enough to become a subscriber, too. We put out three new interviews every single week, a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. It is a great way to keep up with all of your favorite artists, discover some new ones, or just know what's happening in the music world. So hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts from, including iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, Podchaser, or YouTube as well. In fact, over there is the video version. We shot this over Zoom, so if you want to watch the video, you can subscribe YouTube. Just type in Kyle Meredith with. And I'm Kyle Meredith. Today I'm going to be talking with Alicia Bagnano. You know her as Bully, the mastermind of Bully, back with a brand new album called Sugar Egg, a very powerful little record that we're going to be talking about, one that took her 3 years to make and involved a lot of, as she says, personal growth. She gets into battling motivation and self-worth. We're also going to talk about how Lucinda Williams had a little bit of an influence, specifically on one of the tracks on here, but maybe even more than that. And then outside of Sugar Egg, Alicia has covered Nirvana and Orville Peck recently, so we're going to discuss that. She also provided the music for the movie Her Smell. If you remember, that movie came out, I believe, just last year and starred Elizabeth Moss. That was Alicia behind the music of that, which you would hear the band play every time on stage. So I want to hear what that experience was like, and having her own pair of Vans that she designed herself. So let's get into it and discuss this brand new record, Sugar Egg. It's Kyle Meredith with Bully.
Hi, I'm doing well. How are you?
First, the compliments. Sugar Egg, it's a powerful record, and it's a lot of fun to listen to. I mean, you keep outdoing yourself on this one. I know it's, I guess from what you've talked about so far, it's also sort of a hard-won record for you. I think when it came out, maybe this was on your Twitter, you had said you'd spent the last 3 years of your life on this record. Is that just days lived to have the material that would make up these songs? Is that what you're talking about there?
No, I would say that's like 3 years of like writing for it. Yeah, I mean, it depends. There was like a little bit of the time towards the beginning of the writing process while I was still finishing up the touring cycle of Losing. So things were a little bit on and off, but certain songs like Come Down in Prism were written 3 years ago. And it was just that. And then I came home and there was like almost 2 years of me being home strictly writing, went to record the record, thought it was done, decided I was going to keep writing and wrote for another half a year. So yeah, I mean, the period has been like 3 years of actively trying to write for it.
Yeah. I mean, that's gestation right there. That is really building it up. Well, congratulations on it coming out and being, as I said, as powerful as it is. I hope you don't mind us jumping straight into the deep end here, because, you know, the other things you've talked about is how much personal growth went into this record. And I was wondering if you could like detail exactly what that personal growth for you has been.
I think that a lot of it is just, you know, having had the other two records under my belt, I kind of knew a little bit more of like what I wanted and what sort of environment I wanted to be in. And after the first record, you just don't really know what to expect. You're like, how quickly do I have to write? How am I supposed to tour and write at the same time? You know what I'm saying? Like, is my career going to be over if I don't immediately put out another record? And I think my approach to writing Losing was, I was just in not a great headspace. And I think I was hyper aware of how it would be received and what expectations I was being held to. And for Where to Start, Sugar Egg, sorry, the single's name is Where to Start. I feel like I really just wrote it for myself. Like, I was like, I just want to do something that I'm going to be proud of. And if I think, you know, like, the dynamic in the band needs to be changed, or I need to part ways with people, or I need to give up the engineering responsibilities, if I think that's going to make for a better record, but like a more creative fulfillment that I would get out of it, then it's time to just make those changes. And I think, you know, you just learn a lot when you're on the road for a long time, and things happened along the way as far as being like, I don't need to prove to everybody that I can engineer this record. Like, I've already done that. I'm going to have someone else do it. I want to focus on songwriting. I want to focus on the music. And then as far as like our bass player going off to school and me parting ways with our guitar player, it just kind of felt like touring is a really taxing thing. And like, we had been playing for 5 years and I hope to be playing until I die. So, well, maybe up until then, I probably won't be releasing anything then, but I just love playing music is what I'm trying to say. But yeah, there's just like, I don't know. I'm like at a place in my life where I just know when things need to be changed, and I don't want to like sit back and kind of let them manifest anymore. I just am ready to like, you know, move on.
Right.
Say what needs to be said and let go and move on. And I think I did that for this record.
Well, saying what needs to be said, I mean, I almost feel a little bit like an eavesdropper asking about some of these questions because it does sound so personal. But, you know, when I hear, like, there are a few lines I want to bring up on this record that I really connected with. Hours and hours. When you say, I'm not angry anymore, I'm not holding on to that. Like, to me, that sounds like maybe it's one of the most important realizations or lines on the record. Like, would you say so?
Yeah, totally. I mean, and I know that there's like inevitably going to be a lot of darkness and angst and bully songs. It's just like kind of what it is. But towards the end of that, just felt like a really good way to come close to closing the record, because it was like essentially the first time I got to write where I was able to accept things and to like, you know, be in a better headspace and just let go and lean into that. And yeah, I think that line has a lot to do with the record.
The other one I kind of outlined here, and this is probably my favorite line out of it: there's so much more that I could do than fucking around staring down at my dirty shoes. Yeah. I battle with my
own. I'm still doing that.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. Like, what's your daily battle with motivation? I know, especially maybe it's this year on top of it, but you know, this is your career and it's up to you, right? I mean, your career is up to you at this point. Like, what's that battle like for you?
It's like constantly trying to stay appreciative and remember how grateful I am to be able to do what I love for a living. It's just like a constant reminder. Like if I'm like, oh, I just don't feel like doing anything. It's like, well, you're supposed to make a zine today. Like that's fucking awesome. Like, what are you? So it's that, but I mean, I think like more so it's not so much a battle with like my productivity as much it is like with my head and like, and the things that are like inevitable distractions, like my responsibility to social media and stuff like that. And it's more so a battle of just being like, what matters, you know, like, what are you enjoying? What do you believe in? And what matters? And like, forget all this other. So that's really the battle, is being like, don't let this stupid comment or something like manifest the rest of your day. Like, just let it go and remember that you're getting to do what you love for a living. And it's not all going to be like, oh, you just get to sit around and play music all day. Like the other half of that is promoting the records so you can make another. And so, yeah, it's more so just that constant reminder of like, if you want to keep doing what you love, you got to do this too.
I'm not trying to make a good old days kind of speech because there was always some kind of promotion involved, but when you could just let the music speak for itself and you didn't have to worry about it.
Right. Yeah. So. That's my dream. My dream. I swear to God, I started this campaign and I was like, I'm not explaining any songs and blah, 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 blah. And I like wrote it out strategically instead of just being like me, who's like, no, I don't want to. I was like, this is why. And I think that like, I could potentially like diminish the connection with my fans. And like, I want to keep that mystery there. And everyone's like, okay, Alicia, we hear you. We hear you. And then it's like, I start interviews and they're like, so what does this song mean? And I'm like, well, I'll tell you what. But there's just, I mean, you can control it, but there's no, you can control how you're going to navigate it, but there's really no getting around it. So,
and that's what I think I meant. Like, I feel like a voyeur even asking about these songs, because I do get that. I mean, you know, that's there. And so I'll continue along that line awkwardly. Well, and I'm only going to bring up one more line actually, because in Come Down, and this goes with what I think, this goes with what we're saying, because you do say, I hope you've come to realize your worth. And I was wondering, like, you know, I know not everything is always about you and sometimes it's outward, but it's like, is that one of those moments where you are giving yourself the pep talk, or is that to a friend?
I don't think I will ever come to realize my own worth. Like, I just have a really hard time with self-worth. I would like to, but I always wish, you know, like, I think everybody wishes that maybe they could like see themselves the way other people see them. I think if we were able to do that, we wouldn't like struggle so much with insecurities and confidence, or maybe not. But that line in particular was just written about somebody else who I loved very much, who was really hard on themselves. And it could totally be applied to me too, but it was not written for me. I love that line though. It's really, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, when there's like someone in your life who you love that you just see beating themselves up and it just doesn't stop, and you just want to shake them and be like, you're an amazing genius. Stop. Like, how can I like quiet these voices in your head? But yeah, it's such a hard thing to do. Like, I don't really know anybody who is like naturally just knowing their worth. It's good to know. It's good to have on your radar. And I think I know a lot of people who are trying to do that, but to be able to do that is not the easiest thing.
Yeah. Outside of being a narcissist, which of course,
yeah, I almost made an only child joke. And then I was like, don't do that. It's not true.
Well, I'll pull out a little bit from the specifics and more on the art form here, because every tradition, you know, outside, you did call that probably the most literal song on the record. But is there a process when something is very literal in this way of trying to make it poetic? Or do you sort of lean towards the music to take care of that side of it?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are songs like every tradition where the focus on that song was to get across what I wanted to say. And, you know, that was like the motivation behind that. So the lyrics end up being a lot more literal for something like that, as opposed to me sitting down and feeling a certain way and finding the right chords that like fit to my mood. And then I feel like there's room for the lyrics to be a little bit more poetic. So it just sort of shifts. And I think that the music, yeah, like has a lot to do with that, kind of what's going on with the guitars and the tempo of it. But, you know, stuff like Prism, where it's, I would say, more poetic and a little bit more abstract than something like Every Tradition. It's just that one started with the chords and I really liked it and it made me feel a certain type of way. And then I kind of pulled the meaning out of that and decided what I wanted to say in it, as opposed to Every Tradition where I was like, I need to say this and everybody needs to listen and blah, 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 blah. And yeah, that one's so literal, painfully literal, but I'm okay with it. I'm aware.
Well, in your voice, it does sound like you're the dynamics, I guess, that you're doing right now seems mm-hmm. more maybe than you've tried in the past too. You know, I'll hit on Come Down Again. Like there's a delicacy that I don't quite remember ever hearing before.
Yeah, totally.
Is that part of the story?
I love Lucinda Williams. I know nothing about country. And when I heard Lucinda Williams, I was like, whoa, this is so good. And yeah, I mean, that one was kind of, I don't know where that came from, because I don't know. I want to say it kind of came from that, like her being my influence there. But I think that I was able to sing a lot more on this record, whereas the last one, leaving the record cycle for feels like the highlight of sort of every write-up was about my scream and, oh, she screams and she screams. So for Losing, I think I was just screaming because I was like, that's what they want. That's what they're writing about. And then when I started writing Sugar Egg, I was like, well, what's one of my favorite things to do? It's to like sit and try like 8 different melodies for a song and narrow down which one I like and then spend hours just adding weird little oohs and ahs and harmonies and then taking out like 90% of them and keeping 10%. And I just wanted to do a lot more of that. And I'm so glad I did because I don't know. It's just like easy to forget that. I mean, I wouldn't go as far as saying as I can sing, but it's easy to forget that I can sing in a certain type of way, yeah. Not like a Kelly Clarkson type of way, just like I can get by singing and it's fun to do. So
it does make for a more fulfilling record. And yeah. With that in mind, you know, I'll transition a little bit here because that sort of makes sense to me. Now, recently you covered Nirvana, but you covered About a Girl. This isn't one of the Scream songs. I don't know if that Mm-mm. Kind of plays into that.
Well, to be totally honest, I covered that because I was supposed to cover something like on the Sub Pop roster that I was allowed to cover. And that one was one that I thought I could do a good job of, but also it was kind of like a nudge and a wink, like almost cringy that I covered that because we get compared to 90s bands all the time. So I was like, whatever, I'm just going to fully do it. And
lean
like
into it.
Half the people are going to be like, you're the worst. And the other half the people are going to be like, I wanted Bully to cover Nirvana. So I was kind of being a little bit of a smartass when I covered that. But yeah, I had actually so much fun doing that. Like doing both those covers, kind of rewriting songs that aren't mine was like, and that one in particular too was just like, I got it. There are certain parts that like I felt like my vocal could do the same sort of grit and I was like, okay, I get it, like this is fun, like I get the comparisons. But yeah, no, it's funny because it's like the most, it's not mellow, but like vocally just kind of like stays in the same vein the whole song.
Yeah,
but yeah, it was really fun to do.
I don't want to hide from it. Obviously, I'm in the camp that was like, yeah, I do hope they cover Nirvana one day. Like, it made sense. You had interned under Albini, you know, as your backstory goes and all this, you know, you did play a loud yeah. type of music. It was like, when you finally happened, it was like, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, let's
great.
Do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, next great. It'll be whole. It'll just be spot on.
That's it. The Orville Pet cover, by the way, the Turn to Hate, I thought that was interesting the way you recorded that because your voice, in a contrast to how Sugar Egg is recorded, even to how About a Girl, it's almost like a wash back in the music a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what were you going for?
Well, when I was like listening through to what I was gonna pick from, I heard that melody in the chorus and I was like, this melody is incredible. Like his vocal melody is so good. And So that's really what I was just like, I want to do that. But yeah, it was weird. It was weird for me to sing, especially that like pre-chorus. I like didn't know where to go with my voice. But do you mean just like mix wise? Like,
yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, I was probably just trying to cover up my pitchiness. It's usually what I do when the vocals are down. Yeah, there's a lot going. Also, I was like trying to cover up because I played drums on both of those and I'm like an awful drummer. So a lot of doing, but we were like deep in quarantine, like no one was seeing anybody. So I was like, whatever, I'm just going to play everything on these. And a lot of those too was like, how can I kind of mask the drumming? Like, how can I just like cover it up so it's like there, but you're not like, wait, what's going on right now with this drum part? And that's probably a product of that.
Never occurred to me there was anything wrong with the drums.
Well, thank God I pointed it out so now everybody can
now I go back and listen to it.
Extra attention.
Right. I'll kind of close up here because I guess the parts in the middle of the two records is you wrote songs for a movie, right? With Her Smell?
Mm-hmm.
What was that experience like? I've seen the movie. I mean, what an interesting, different movie. You know, the vibe just does not lay off the whole time.
It's really intense.
Yeah.
That was great. I loved it. I want to do so much more of it. It was just, I mean, I think like working with Alex and Elizabeth was like, has a lot to do with why that was great, just because it was like, I would write something, send it over, they would sit with it and then be like, oh, this is great, this works. And I was like, this is too easy. Not too easy, but I was like, something is going to go wrong. But no, it was awesome. Pretty much I got the script, read over the script, told Alex that I would do it, and then sat down with the script and kind of wrote the songs that I was supposed to in the scenes, but like based off of the how I imagine Elizabeth's character would feel. And it was just really cool to not write something for Bully for once. It was like, it was a good writing exercise. Not to say that that was just an exercise, because I got paid. That would be a well-paying exercise. But it was, and it was really funny. It was like, once we would decide on a song, I was on the road for a lot of it and would set up my phone and video my hands playing each chord and like break down each chord, because I'm not a music theory person at all. So a lot of the times I don't really know what I'm playing. I had like an app that could also break them apart and I did that, but mostly it was like me sending videos of my hands to Elizabeth, who would then show to her guitar teacher and she would learn how to play. And it was also like a good practice of sort of letting things go, because it was the first time where I wrote something and then it wasn't mine anymore and it was done, like, you know, like a little things that are naturally going to be different, like melodies or like a few lyrics that just like come out differently and stuff. And I had to just let it go and be okay with that. And I totally was. I mean, it's not, you know, I was like hired to write for a character and that was my only relationship with the film, but it was so good.
Yeah.
I hope to do a lot more movie stuff because I really like writing in general and it's nice to not always have to do it for Bully.
Do those songs, like, do you think of them as part of your discography now? Like, if you're out touring, if this was the Sugar Egg tour, do you throw those in?
Oh, not at all. No.
No. Mm-hmm. They're outside. they're a different thing. That's interesting.
I mean, if I were to have, okay, I think there's obviously a reason I was asked to do it, because my sound resembles that era or that idea of that era. So yeah, it's not like I was writing country songs for a film and they're completely out there, but I feel like if I was to turn them into Bully songs, then I wouldn't have done the job I was supposed to do, which was like write for a different character in someone else's shoes. So I'm very like, no, not my song.
Yeah.
Wasn't for me, didn't come from me, it came from a character. And I mean, it did come from me, let's be honest, but yeah.
But they live in the movie. That's where they live.
They live in the movie and that's it.
Yeah.
Also, it's like, if you hear them, it's like one of them is kind of like half a song that falls apart. Another's supposed to be like a sentimental slow one. There's really only one that would even be played live and that's the last one. But
yeah. That's interesting.
On
the much brighter side, those are dark songs. You got your own Vans? Shoes.
I do. I have my own Vans. They're so cool.
Like, this is something, that's one of those things that, you know, that goes up on the shelf forever, right? Like, that's something Who gets that?
I don't know. Honestly, Vans, I just want to like live in their offices that I've never been to and I don't even know where they exist. But like, I feel like I've got to do so much cool stuff with Vans, for Vans, and I'm very lucky for that relationship. I got to play like an all-girls skateboard event. It was like a weekend. We flew to like, I think it was like in New York, and then we flew to Chicago, and it was the most empowering, inspiring thing. And I was just like, man, Vans just comes through. Like, they just keep putting cool shit my way, and I'm very grateful for that.
So what do you do when they say design a shoe for us? Like what do you want to accomplish with that shoe?
I'm like, oh fuck, can I like hire someone else to do it? Cause I don't design shoes or draw. I mean, we were kind of a little bit limited with what we could have done. We wanted to do like a embroidery and stuff and make it a little more specific, but we had to go based off of what you can do with their customs creator. So like anything that we tried to do with like the record cover picture and stuff just ended up looking kind of wonky. So I just thought about like what people think of when they are like a symbol that is recognizable for Bully fans. And I have like a tattoo here that's now called like the No Face tattoo. And a bunch of Bully followers, fans, I hate saying fans because it sounds like so pretentious, but whatever, I don't know what else to say. A bunch of Bully's audience got the same tattoo. So I like actually made a poster of all the Bully tattoos. And so that just seemed like a good one to put on the shoe. And then the ice cream cone is off of the, I don't know if you've seen us play live, but we bring two like massive ice cream cones that we have on our amps that light up. So I figured those were like pretty strong Bully symbols and would work well for the shoe.
They're cool. They're, and, thanks. You know. They do those little things. It's interesting how those little like doodles or whatever you want to call them like become iconic so quickly. You know, it's like how they end up meaning something so quickly.
Yeah,
to a certain group of people. Anyway, Alicia. Again, the compliments on Sugar Egg. I love what you're doing. We always love what
you're
doing with all the records. So thank you for continuing to do it. Thank you for taking the time to talk about it today.
Thanks. Thank you for all the support. It means a lot.
Anytime. We'll keep giving it. You keep giving the music. We'll keep doing it.
Okay. Have a great day.
All right. It was great talking to you. We'll see you around. Thanks.
You too. Bye.
And the last time Alicia and I talked was back in 2018 behind Bully's second LP called Losing, which once again was kind of counter to how this one was, how Sugar Egg was written in a quick 3-month spurt. That 3-month just happened to be around late 2016 when it seemed like all the world was tuned in to the movements and politics happening within the U.S., and Alicia found herself filtering those events into her new songs, which also had a deep stake in her personal life. We got to talk about how the LP has unfortunately been labeled a breakup album, even though that's not really the case. And the first time she remembers using that ferocious scream in public. So part two of Kyle Meredith with Bully.
So first off, we're excited to have you back in town. You'll be playing Zanzibar January 21st behind this really amazing, awesome, great new album with Losing, which is a hell of a follow-up, by the way. I mean, all the compliments for this record right here.
Oh, thank you. Thanks.
I kind of wonder, musically, and I don't want this to make it sound like they don't sound fully formed, but it almost sounds like musically this record came together really quickly, and I was wondering if that's the case.
Yeah, it kind of did. I mean, a lot of it came together in a consolidated period of time. There was a first batch of songs that I was able to write when we had a small break a while ago, and I think it's maybe just one of those songs, one or two of those songs made it onto the record. But the majority of them were written in about a 3 to 4 month period. And it was after we got done touring and we kind of pulled the plug on touring just to get working on the second record. So that has a lot to do with it. But yeah, they were kind of all written together, which is just happened to be the nature of the situation because prior to that, we hadn't really had any time off. But I'm hoping for the third record that it'll be cool to be able to just live with the songs a little bit more.
Yeah, a lot of bands don't have, I think, the know-how, but also the power to say, no, we're stopping this because we want to go ahead and get to work on the record. I mean, it's such the, you know, the business music industry thing to do to keep pushing that band for, you know, years between the records.
Yeah, you know, we have to play those songs live every night, and it gets to a point where you start to realize if you're getting sick of what you're playing, or you just need to progress, even if it's just like makes you feel like that progression is just coming from a more personal level to keep moving forward and creating new stuff. And I remember that being really important for us. And we just knew after playing the first record and touring extensively that it was just time to move on to something new. And I'm really glad we did it, but I think we could just feel it. Like we just felt like it was time that we needed to write something new.
What's interesting about that timeline, I think a lot of folks, I mean, a lot's been written about the record as far as the relationship parts of this, but there's a whole lot more going on in that. And you especially get that with a few of my favorite tracks like Hate and Control, which really I find it interesting. It plays the great trick to the question, is this a relationship or something more at large? And from what I gather, it's the something more at large, but you could read into that in so many different ways.
Yeah, Hate and Control is definitely about the election and not so much about the relationship. I was kind of bummed it was presented as a breakout record because it felt like so much more than that to me, because it wasn't to me. I mean, every song was about something different, but I think people like to find something to kind of, you know, they want to find a way to be able to talk about a record. And I can see how that it can be perceived that way, because it does sound like there's a person in each song. I think that the confusion was just that it wasn't the same person in each song. And yeah, I guess it just is what it is. But I definitely wasn't I didn't write a breakup record. Everything was about something so different to me. But that's just the nature of writing songs, I guess, and then leaving it up to people to kind of decide what it's about for themselves, which right. is also a thing that I am an advocate for, because I don't necessarily like the idea of having to explain what each one is about. I think that takes a little bit of the magic out of it. So it goes both ways. There's pros and cons to it.
Well, I mean, you get into that song, especially in that line, hey, are you doing all right today? I know everyone's shaken up. I mean, that was the big tip off even before I got into the song, because, I mean, that was the conversation that happened, what, November 12th, 2016, I guess. I think that was the thing everybody was asking each other.
Yeah, totally.
The other track on there, I want to focus, like, and I think this might be one of those points, too, because I think what I took from it, and then when I read about it later, was probably two different things. I mean, I'm one of these people that sort of works for fun. I like to work for fun. But with and with all the stuff that you're writing about in Hate Control, to me, that's, you know, all the stuff that's out there that's trying to grab your attention in just regular life. All you're trying to do is just, you know, look straight ahead and live your life and be the best person you can be. But it's not about exactly that, is it?
Focused is really about a relationship between two best friends. I mean, it's really about revisiting a relationship you had as a child when you're an adult, and just kind of thinking back on how you handled all the situations. I feel like growing up, everyone has that person that you just go through so much with at such a young age, and it can be a really remarkable thing to think of too, like 13-year-olds trying to help each other deal with some really heavy stuff, and the little things that you do, I think, to kind of move on from it. It's just really interesting. And to me, I don't know, it's something I think about a lot. And that's what it's really a song about two best friends. That Focus is probably my favorite song on the record.
And I guess, you know, when I think about that bigger picture stuff, you know, a lot of artists, you know, you hope to connect. As you were talking about earlier, you don't really know what the song's going to do once you put it out there. But I think, you know, a lot of artists, they do hope to connect and maybe even tap into something. And here you have Bully coming along at a time when tapping into something is tapping into how we're being inundated with government news. And, you know, that's unbelievable, but relentless out there.
And I think some of the themes that come up in Focus, like, and that have been so often talked about and are being talked about now, it just is kind of saying, oh yeah, this has been going on forever. Yeah. Right now it's a particularly crazy time.
Yeah, to be a band and I don't know. Like, I mean, it has everything. All of this stuff's always been going on, but when it becomes, you know, the hot button topic in the forefront of the conversation, and as an artist, oh, I've written this for the bigger conversation. That's how I want it to be. You know, I wanted to change somebody's life in that positive way.
A lot of times I've been asked about this record and whether or not it, like, was influenced by the election and everything else that came along with it. And my answer is, obviously, there's no way of getting around it, I think. And it's everywhere. So yeah, I would love to be a part of the bigger conversation. I feel like we're still a relatively small band, so how much we're actually doing for that conversation is pretty debatable. But
you just remember, the Velvet Underground was a really small band when they were a band. So
yeah. Yeah, that's true.
It does happen. Something else, and I'm sure this probably gets brought up a lot, but you have one of the best screams in rock music right now. It's...
Oh, thank you.
Do you remember the first time that you used that in public, and was that a big moment for you?
Yeah, I think it was when we were playing the Stone Fox, which is... It's not a venue anymore, but it was a venue I used to run sound at, and our bass player used to book there. And when we first started, we played there quite a few times. And I believe it was when we were playing Trine for the first time, and that's when it happened. But I think something about the choruses and Trine that I think helped bring the scream about. And then we tracked the first record, and there's really not that much screaming, but I think it was just us playing the songs every night and just there's a certain energy that happens when you play live, and depending on how your day is going, sometimes you can just really relate to what you're singing, and I think it just kind of happened and crept in naturally. And then I just kept going with it, I guess. I don't know. It feels really good. It's just like, it's such a positive outlet for any sort of negative space or energy that I have, that it just feels like it's necessary sometimes.
It's a hell of a tool to have in your arsenal. Yeah. That not everyone has that same, you know, that same ability. Yeah. In the tool. Anyway, again,
well, thank you.
Yeah, I love this record, and we'll see you here in Louisville. That's January 21st at Zanzibar, and we can't wait for it.
Yeah, we're excited. I haven't seen the new Zanzibar yet.
Yeah, well, we'll see you then.
Thank you so much.
All right, I hope you feel better, too.
Thanks.
All right, bye.
Bye.
My thanks to Alicia. The brand new Bully record is called Sugar Egg. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Before you get out, hit that subscribe button. Stay up to date on everything that we're doing. 3 new interviews a week. iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, Podchaser, or again, YouTube, where you'll find the video version of this interview as well. Then after that, head to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, an hour full of song premieres and music news, anniversary spins, and bonus interviews. Again, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence of Sound has your music and film news. You can also find me on the social media spots, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all of them, at Kyle Meredith. Hope you like and follow along there as well. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Do you read Stephen King? Good news. There's a club for you. The Losers Club. Every Friday, us losers journey through the never-ending wastelands of King's Dominion. We sink our teeth into each of King's novels, dive deep into the lore, and review every adaptation. Even better, we're always having guests over. Thomas Jane, Will Wheaton, Mary Lambert, Mick Garris. The list goes on. So what are you waiting for? Join us as we read on through long days and pleasant nights.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.